Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Right, no technical issues with this Friday edition of Sports Time Radio, so let's get it rolling. I, of course, am the Big Jack, and I said Friday, right?
Start spreading the news.
Well, that music means one thing. That means Schomburg Stu is here. Stu, how you doing?
All right, the 2-week hiatus is over.
Yeah, we're good to go. And if you want to call into the podcast and talk to Stu or, well, maybe me, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays over there, so look for something popping up sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. Don't forget to give that a like since you went all the way over there. And then, of course, there's the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, unfortunately, we never did manage to get Stu on Twitter, but feel free to reach out to me at BurkeTime with any message you have for Stu, and I will gladly pass it along. But ladies, I got to remind you, he's married, and he's been married for a really long time, so be careful what you send him. So.
All right. I'll be looking for those presents.
Yeah. All right. Well, we, I guess we thought we were going to have a rivalry series, but oh no, the Cardinals had one more player test positive for the COVID-19 virus. So their game tonight was canceled against the Cubs. According to what Major League Baseball has set up, you have to have 2 days where all your players have, no positive tests. So I'm kind of under the impression that there won't be a game tomorrow. So maybe Sunday they can get two games in.
Well, you think they might play a doubleheader on Sunday to make up for this?
Well, the Cardinals were already scheduled to play 55 games in 52 days. So why not?
I suppose they can do that, but remember the Cubs are and Cardinals are scheduled for a nationally televised game on Sunday night. So, how would that affect the doubleheader possibilities?
Well, no. I mean, you could start the one game. I mean, it's it being that it's on the Mickey Mouse Network, it's a 6 p.m. start, so you could have a noon game or a 1 o'clock game, and with the rules now, it's not like they would go 18 or 19 innings where it would run into that other game. So I think if baseball decides they could get two games in, if they get any in at all, and it'll be interesting to see if they do decide just to wipe out the series, if there's even a Sunday night baseball game, can they move somebody or, would it be too late?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm sure there's some backup games that they could pick up. And another thing you brought up, if indeed they decide that they're going to play an afternoon and an evening game, would those games be 7 innings each?
Yeah, that's the rule. The doubleheaders are 7 innings now. So, which is ridiculous, but again, that's just me. So,
Well, no more ridiculous than the runner on second base starting an extra inning game.
Yeah, I actually saw one of the baseball guys that I really, I used to respect, John Morosi, on the MLB Network today say that he hopes they keep that rule. And, right after that, I was like, okay, I'm done with this guy. I mean, there is – that's just ridiculous. I mean, it's not baseball. And, you know, and this is just another, you know, and what it boils down to is the media doesn't want to cover these long games. So they're looking for any way to end them early, and this is a way to do it. And it's just like, really, guys, it's your job. You know, if you don't want to do your job, go do something else. So
I'm glad that rule wasn't implied for the 2016 World Series.
Oh, I don't understand why it's implied anywhere at all. I mean, I get that they're trying to speed up the game, but we're talking about something. You know, the game is already 3-plus hours old by the time you're injecting this rule to make it go faster. So, you know, I mean, if you've watched the game for 3 hours, you're probably going to stay with it till the end.
Was it done for health reasons, you think? And I think that's probably the main reason. And I think it would be, if everything was okay next year, I think they just would forget about that rule from now on. I don't think it would be a permanent thing like possibly the DH in the National League.
Yeah, well, what they decided this year is they decided to use it so they wouldn't have those long games and stretch out teams' pitching staffs with the amount of games they have to play. You know, I mean, one of the worst things, I mean, imagine if a team had an 18-inning game and then they're looking at their schedule and, you know, they got 9 games in 10 days coming up. You're probably going to end up either hurting your pitchers or using guys that don't belong pitching in the major leagues.
Yeah,
so either
true.
Way, you're in a bad spot. So, I'm learning to become okay with it. I don't like it, and I don't want to see it stay. So it really bothers me when they're like, oh, yeah, they should keep this rule. This is a great rule. Why do you think this is a great rule?
I don't think that's going to happen for next year if they play a full 162-game slate and the health concerns are gone. You know, I think that rule will be done and dead, a one-time aberration only.
Yeah, it needs to go away. I get it. We're in a different type of situation than we've ever been in before. Okay, you know, go ahead and give it a try. You know, I don't want to see anybody get hurt. You know, I mean, pitchers blow out their arms anyways. You know, you look at them the wrong way, and a guy needs Tommy John surgery. So, you know, the last thing you need is, you know, a couple 16, 17, 18-inning games. But, yeah, to think this is a good rule and have it stay, I think this guy needs to find another job. And he's a fantastic baseball reporter, but just obviously not that bright.
No, I would not consider that a legitimate way to play a baseball game under normal situation. Now, have they determined regarding DH for the National League? Is that going to be done next year also? Is that a definitely agreed upon for next year, a DH in the National League, or are they going to talk about it first?
You know, I thought they had said that they were going to use it, but I honestly don't remember. Even if they don't use it next year, it's just going to be a one-year reprieve because the collective bargaining agreement expires after next season, and we're getting the universal DH regardless of if we want it or not. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's coming in, and we're just going to have to deal with it.
I'm sure the older ballplayers like that idea, of course, because they can really extend your career. 38, 39 years old, you can still swing the bat. Maybe you're not as flexible in the field anymore. You can have 3 or 4 good years as a DH.
Yeah, well, you know, the other thing is, you know, the union loves it also because it creates an extra, you know, roster spot for one of those aging players that may have been pushed out because, you know, he can no longer play defense. So,
exactly,
you know, this is something they love. And, you know, the media loves it because, you know, they complain about, you know, they've been complaining about pitchers having to hit for the past, I don't know, 5, 10 years or whatever. And Dan and I always joke because if you ever go to a Little League game or a high school game or an American Legion game, the best pitcher on the team is generally, when he's not pitching, the shortstop, the center fielder, the catcher, the third baseman. He plays – a valuable position when he doesn't hit, and he's generally one of the better hitters on the team. It's very rare at those levels, you know, that your star pitcher isn't a great hitter. And it's just humorous to me that these guys get to the minors and, you know, they don't want him to hit. You know, well, we have a DH here. You don't need to hit, kid. Like, yeah, but I just hit 800 in my high school league and set the home run record, and now I don't get to swing the bat? So it's odd, you know, watching those guys when they get to the major leagues. It's almost like some of them have never hit in their lives.
Yeah, that's a strange situation. I've never been a fan of the DH myself. And how many years now has it been in the American League? It's been over 10 years, hasn't it, at least, if not longer?
Yeah, it's been much, much longer than that. I can probably give you a date if you give me a second here. But, yeah, they've had it now a long time. So let's see, when was the DH added? 1973.
My goodness, it's almost 50 years.
Oh yeah,
it's a long time.
Yeah, 37 years this season.
No, it's actually 47.
Seven? Oh, okay. Sorry, I'm, you know, my math is bad.
Well, you know, my math is one of my strong suits, but even in my tender age.
And yes, now, you know, since your math is good, do you remember who the first DH was?
I'll have to go and plead ignorance on that one, but I know you have that name right at your fingertips, and we'll let everybody know, because I'm curious myself.
I actually knew this without having to look it up. That's how bad I am with these things. Ron Bloomberg of the New York Yankees was the first guy to be a DH in the American League. What I didn't know is in his first plate appearance, he faced Louis Tion and he drew a walk. I didn't know that, but I knew he was the first DH.
Well, that's a good trivia. I understand that he was a hard-drinking Irishman, too.
You know, probably. You know, some of those baseball guys are, you know, they used to be like that. I don't know about now, to be fair. So.
Yeah. Do you remember, you're talking about it's been there a long time. Whose idea was it? Somebody must have been at the forefront of suggesting this idea to implement the American League batting with a DH. Any idea who was off the top? I don't remember myself.
I actually know this one too, just because he was kind of such a character as an owner. Charlie Finley, the A's owner, was the guy who suggested it, and it was actually first used in spring training in 1969. Finley convinced them to give it a try, and then it took them, you know, the 4 years for just the American League to adopt it. There is a story that goes, and I can't remember what year it was from. I think it was maybe the 80s, where the National League owners were due to have a vote on it, and it looked like it was going to pass, and the National League would have had the DH way back then. But they didn't get enough owners at the meeting to get, you know, the quorum they needed, and the proposal lost.
What is it? They need a 75% vote to get it passed?
Yeah, I don't remember what number they need, but, you know, like some of their key votes and their big supporters were like the Phillies owner at the time, who I don't remember, and for whatever reason, he didn't show up to the meeting. If I remember right, he may have been out like fishing or something. So just one of those odd situations, and, you know, the proposal ended up losing, and, you know, it didn't, you know, it just never came up again.
Well, I hope the listening audience is appreciative of your knowledge of baseball, because I'm impressed myself.
Yeah, well, you know, I just remember that because I saw it. They did a big story on it on the Mickey Mouse Network, and they were talking to the guys about it. But, yeah, I mean, just imagine how the game would have changed if the National League had adopted it way back then.
Yeah, I'm really if it is implemented permanently, I'm going to miss it. The strategy involved of bunting a batter along and trying to do something when the pitcher's coming up to bat, and the strategy involved. There's an art to it, and sadly, it looks like that aspect of the game will be disappearing for good.
Yeah, well, you know, my favorite thing about baseball, you know, or maybe not my favorite, but one of my favorites was it made the leagues different. You know, the pitcher hit in the National League, he didn't hit in the American League, and then you didn't see each other until the World Series, you know, which I thought was fantastic. I mean, like, there's just too much interleague play now, and it kind of has taken the bloom off the rose, as they say. There you go. I don't know where I came up with that one at, but I know I've heard it many times.
Yes.
You know, and like when these teams meet, you know, there's just no real excitement because, well, you know, we see it every day now. So I, you know, it's kind of maybe not tarnished it for me, but it's kind of taken away some of my enjoyment that, you know, saying, yeah, okay, great. So what, the Cubs played the Royals, whoopee, big deal. It's just two teams. You know, where before it was like, oh, cool, a National League is playing an American League, you know. But, yeah, I don't know, whatever they came up with. They should have evened out the schedule and figured it out, but they didn't.
Yeah, it does create some interesting things, especially during the World Series, of course, when the home team has either the DH or the non-DH, depending on if it's an American League or National League team. And I'm wondering how it affected let's take the one, my favorite World Series, 2016. Did it help the Cubs? I think it helped the Cubs maybe to have the DH in the World Series for those four games in Cleveland.
They didn't put Cleveland in the field. So,
exactly.
You know, I mean, if there's a National League player tailor-made to be the DH, it's Kyle Schwarber. You know, and
yeah.
I still don't understand why he's at the DH in every Cub game. Nobody, you know, there's absolutely no reason his bat shouldn't be in the lineup every day, regardless of who's pitching, and just, you know, send him out there, let him go, and, you know, get his at-bats. But, you know, he's been playing quite a bit of left field, and, you know, I know they've used other guys at the DH, you know, and it's like, great, that's just wonderful.
They haven't been too effective, especially recently, when the bats have kind of fallen asleep for the Cubs the last few games.
Yeah, well, you know, that's going to happen. You know, I mean, teams go, you know, through these odd up and down periods. So, but, yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe they're still adjusting to it or, you know, whatever, you know, they're trying to do or keep guys fresh or, you know, whatever excuse they want to use. But, yeah, I just can't see him, you know, just not being that guy every game, you know.
And I guess it's too soon to really start picking out some teams in the early part of a 60-game schedule. It's been a surprise, although you have to say that no one would have expected Miami to do as well as they've done. But I don't think it's going to last too much longer.
Yeah, no, you know, and that's the, you know, it you know, it's fun to be like, oh, hey, you know, look, I mean, you know, the Marlins are 6-1 and they're, you know, fantastic. You know, I think like some of the things that I wonder about is, you know, like both the Cubs and the Yankees are the only two teams in their division that are over 500. And now so are the A's because the Astros lost last night. So there are a lot of teams off to some, you know, some poor, poor starts. And you've got to wonder if possibly we could see a couple teams run away, kind of like the Dodgers did last year, where, you know, I mean, they had wrapped up the West pretty much by, you know, July.
Yeah.
You know, if these teams can't kind of straighten out their ships, can these other teams just get far enough away where it's, you know, it's over?
Yeah, especially, well, like you pointed out, there, of course, it's only a 60-game schedule, and some of these teams that we thought might be contenders are getting off to a bad start. It's going to be very difficult for them to have enough of a rally during the rest of this shortened season to have an impact, and maybe they might not even make the playoffs.
Yeah, even the expanded playoffs. You know, I mean,
you
know, they stretch those things out, because what is it? It's 16 teams. You know, 8 in each league. So there's, you know, there's going to be a lot of teams getting in. But yeah, I mean, you know, you just kind of look and you wonder, you know, I mean, especially, you know, everybody, you know, the National League East was supposed to be, you know, the great division where Miami is the worst team. And I think eventually they'll get there because they're not going to play the Orioles every game. But, you know, the Nationals are 4-5, the Phillies are 3-4, and the Mets are 5-8. You know, and you got to wonder about the Braves now because they just lost their ace.
Yeah, that's going to hurt them a little bit.
You know,
they still have a very young, talented team, so I think they can overcome that. They're strong enough and deep enough to overcome that.
You do wonder if Cole Hamels ever comes back, if he'll help out. I don't remember, what DL or what IL, excuse me. It's the IL now. I keep saying DL because I'm used to it. But, yeah, I don't know if he was put on the 45-day or if he was on the 10-day to where he could come back.
Yeah, by the way, talking about that, when you said DL instead of IL, you got to be very, very precise nowadays because you have to be politically correct and no matter what you say. So we must remember to say IL, although it's pretty hard for us to do that after so many years of saying, yeah, this guy went to the DL. Now we got to switch it around.
So, yeah, that's, you know, it's kind of like, oh, okay, it's the, you know, it's this now. So.
Yeah, it's like a.
You know, we'll have to.
I wonder what's going to happen if there's a football season, for example, and the announcers will say, well, the Washington football team is taking the field.
Well, you know, that's what they changed their name to, so we would be okay calling them that, right?
Yeah, the Washington football team.
You know, until they can come up with something else, you know, they're the Washington football team. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I was looking to see. Oh yeah, yeah. The Braves put Hamels on the 45-day injury list. So I'm under the impression we probably won't even see him this year.
I would say that's a reasonable assumption to make. Yeah.
So.
We're talking 6-7 weeks, and then he's got to get back in shape, and how long is that going to take? And so I don't think we're going to see him pitching this year. And he's not a youngster either, so I'm wondering if he's done permanently as a pitcher.
You know, if possible, let's see. I thought they had a date here on when they might actually see him, but it doesn't look like it. I guess if they make the playoffs, he might be available then.
I wouldn't count on him too much, though, if he were even available in the playoffs. Would they put him in a mop-up situation for an inning or two?
Yeah, or, you know, with the way starters are going, you know, he might be able to go out and go 3 or 4 innings. You know, there's a lot of guys who are still kind of stuck on that number. I know – you know, more and more guys are getting stretched out, but there are still some pretty good pitchers who are struggling to, you know, get through four or five innings with the way this has worked out.
Yeah, quite a bit. You know, you were talking about the schedule, and I'm wondering the Cardinals are going to be in bad shape now because they have so many games, like you pointed out, they have so many games to make up now, and they're not off to the greatest start either. And are they done as a playoff team for this year, or do they still have a shot at making it?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's going to be kind of hit or miss. I mean, if they can stay healthy or get healthy, actually, and then get hot, you know, that could work to their advantage because they won't have as much time to think about playing. You know, they're just going to go play. You know, I think the big thing is, you know, with the way pitchers are handled now, you know, and they, you know, they've already lost, you know, they lost Miles Mikolas. He's done for the year. He was a, you know, a big time starter for them. And I thought I saw, did they have another guy go on IL or was he just a COVID guy? I'm trying to remember. That's right. Carlos Martinez went on the IL.
Yep, that's right.
He went
out
with all the guys who tested positive, but his injury was undisclosed. So who knows what's going on with him. you know, it becomes, you know, this becomes taxing for pitchers. And, you know, it's not like the old days where a guy would go out on 3 days rest and give you 8 innings. You know, now you got guys who go out on 5 and 6 days rest and still only give you 5. So it you know, you're going to have to do some magic juggling, or, you know, hope you got a lot of pitchers in your what they call the alternative team site, because there's going to be a lot of guys going back and forth, you know, with a schedule like that.
It's going to be difficult because not only just the pitchers now, the Cardinals have been out for, what, a week and a half, and are they at full strength when they come back? Are they even the position players? What about, are they weakened a little bit from dealing with COVID symptoms? Are they 100% strength, and are they going to be rusty? There's a lot of factors to take into consideration when they do start playing baseball again.
Well, you know that, and, you know, guys like Yadier Molina and Paul DeJong, who are two of their main starters, you know, they both tested positive, so they're on the COVID list, the IL list. Will they be able to get their test results? Like, if the game was played tonight, neither of those guys would be playing.
No, that's true.
Because, you know, they're not eligible to return yet. So, not only you're dealing with the, you know, I think they had 4 or 5 guys that went on the IL because of the positive COVID tests, you know, along with the injury guys they've been dealing with. So, yeah, they're pretty stretched out. I know they're a good organization, but that's a lot to ask out of a team. You know, how you're going to juggle this. And I know they just put the guy they were going to close, they signed that Korean pitcher in the offseason. What was it? Kwang Yoon Kim. I had to look that up to make sure they get that right. They decided that he's going into the rotation now because he was a starter in Korea, and they just, you know, they need starting pitching.
Yeah, and we know that the Korean level of baseball is not up to the level of MLB. And as we talked about, I think maybe in years past, maybe it's slightly above AAA, maybe 4A. I don't know. But how is he gonna fare against Major League pitching every 4 or 5 games?
Yeah, well, you know, you probably figure the first time they see him, he'll do okay. You know, because I'm guessing they probably don't know. You know, hitters haven't really seen him. They don't know a lot about him. But, yeah, you know, once they kind of get the book down on him, you know, because I don't know much about him myself, but I'm guessing, you know, he's 31, so I'm guessing he's not throwing 90-plus all the time.
No.
You know, you can only fool those guys so much before you make a mistake and hang something. You know, with the way the ball is, you know, the ball is definitely juiced up again. I've seen some really questionable home runs that, you know, should have been fly balls. So, yeah, you know, you may, a pitcher makes mistakes and they pay for it. So, you know,
yeah.
It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, exactly right. And it's amazing how the adjustments have to be made, though, if you want to make it as a major leaguer, because there's adjustments either way. They catch up to you a little bit, then it's up to you as a batter or pitcher to make the counter adjustments so that you can continue to play at a productive level. Some players can do it. Most can't.
Yeah. Well, you know, and then, you wonder, you know, when it comes to the Cardinals, you know, their two best starting pitchers are, you know, Jack Flaherty and Dakota Hudson. Flaherty's 24, Hudson is 25. You know, these guys are going to have long major league careers ahead of them. How much do you risk them this year with, you know, especially now what they're going to be asked to do? You know, to carry the rotation like that and really give innings, you know, do you take that chance? I know Flaherty was originally scheduled to start tonight, and they scratched him for some reason. They pushed him back, which was odd considering they've been off 8 days. You know, it can't be because he needs rest. So, you just got to kind of wonder – you know, they're going to have to be able to manage the workload of these young guys because you don't want to blow them out.
Exactly. They're really going to have to be very careful. They're very because you got two young pitchers, and you got to treat them very gingerly. You don't want them to go six or seven innings every time out. And how is that going to be for their career on a long term basis? We've seen so many injuries over the past decade in baseball and pitching, and now they have Tommy John surgery and other surgeries that can correct it. But if that happens, you're out for a year and a half, recuperating with your arm. And then they want to avoid that at all costs.
Yeah, you know, that's really the big thing. I mean, if you're the Cardinals, Flaherty is a guy who is potentially, a perennial Cy Young candidate. So, you don't want to risk him. And I'm trying to look here who they have at, like, their alternative site, but it's not, it's not like you can go to your alternative site and get an ace starting pitcher. You know, it's basically just journeyman.
That's about it, yeah.
I
like the term now, instead of minor league baseball, they call it the alternative site. That's the newest term. That, of course, there is no minor league baseball this year.
So, yes, you're at the alternative site. Just kind of looking at theirs, it's a bunch of, either guys that they've picked up from waivers from other teams or just amateur free agents they've signed. A couple guys they traded for, but, it's nothing, what you're going to go get, here's, this guy or, that guy. Or, I think Zach Thompson may have a major league start under his belt, but, you don't really want to see him starting unless he has to.
Yeah, and it's very difficult. I would imagine that the players that are on the alternative team work out on a daily basis, but that's about it, right? I mean, there's no competition.
Yeah.
There's no competition, and there's a big difference between working out at a baseball facility and actually competing in the game.
Yeah, because I don't know if they're even, like, playing inner squad or anything like that. I don't know if they, maybe they do that to try to stay sharp, but, it's still a big difference. When it kind of comes down to it, and who knows?
A huge difference, and it seems to me that they're not going to come into, if the alternative team, one of the players called up to the major roster, I don't see him coming in and doing a credible job that quickly, because they're not coming in with any kind of game condition under their belts.
Yeah, well, I guess it's what they would be asked to do, but maybe a reliever could come in and give you an inning here or there, but to bring up a guy and say, all right, here you go, I need you to start, and ask him to go 5, 6, 7 innings, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah, they really haven't discussed too much about what the players on the alternative team are doing to stay in shape, do they? It's kind of, they just don't talk about it very much, but they must do something. They have to be working out on a daily basis.
Yeah, well, I know the Cubs players work out at South Bend because it's the closest facility.
Right.
You know, get back and it's only, a few hours of drive time. If the Cubs need somebody, I'm sure that's what everybody does. Whatever your closest facility is where, these guys are working out at. But we don't know what the workouts entail. I mean,
no.
They're getting their batting practice, and I'm sure they're fielding, and pitchers are staying in their, their throwing programs. But yeah, like you said, I mean, do they face live hitting where you can make it game situation, how are they doing that? Nobody's really said anything about that.
No. And I'm assuming that the players on the alternative team are getting some kind of income while they're waiting to be called up to the main roster.
Yeah, well, yeah, they were, you know, they were all signed to contracts. So, you know, whatever, you know, whatever they got on, you know, on their contract or however it works out. But, you know, like I'm looking at like the Cardinals alternative guys, and there are very few names I even recognize, you know, that I've seen in the major leagues. I think there's like three pitchers. None of their position players do I recognize, but looking at them, none of the oldest guy is 27, you know, so they just loaded it up with a bunch of young players.
I suppose most teams are doing the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'll have to look at some other alternative rosters here and see. You know, like I know the Cubs just brought in two veteran relievers because their bullpen is so bad. But I, you know, I don't know what, you know, what all the other teams are doing. So, you know, and actually, if I remember correctly, the Cubs actually have some names that I saw, you know, play in the major leagues. I know like Hernan Perez is in there, you know, is at their alternative site. He was a quality utility guy for the Brewers for a long time. But yeah, I, you know, just one of those.
Well,
odd,
they also signed,
you know,
some relief pitchers too that had success, but that success was many years ago. And I guess that's a desperation move if they have to bring the guy up and hope he can revert back to his previous form. But that's, to me, is really a stretch.
Yeah, no, you know, looking at the Cubs alternative roster, they have a lot more names that have played at the major league level than like what the Cardinals are carrying. So it's you know, I guess kind of an interesting mix depending on how you want to, you know, you want to set your team up. You know, I know the Cardinals are considered small markets, so maybe they didn't want to spend money or something, but let's take a look at the Brewers here and see what Milwaukee did with their alternative guys, because I'm kind of curious, because, you know, they're a small market team as well. But it looks like four guys I know of there, but pitching wise, yeah, it only looks like they have like two guys that, you know, names I know. So yeah, it's kind of hit or miss depending on how the team wanted to set it up.
Yeah, it's certainly an odd situation for this season, if we can even call it a season. I'm not sure what you would call it. An interim season?
Yeah, that's pretty much the best way to look at it. It's just kind of here, you know. It's baseball, I guess, is what you can call it. So
yeah, baseball with cutout fans and, worse, with Fox broadcast, they have occasional shots of simulated fans in the audience too, depending on where the ball is going.
Yeah, I do enjoy watching the cutouts get hit when the baseballs go into the seats, though. So,
well, it was always,
you know,
good to see.
I don't have
for a bear from a bear fan standpoint, it was good to see Patrick Mahomes in the audience, right? And think of what got away.
I don't know if you caught this highlight, but in Seattle, they had a Steve Bartman cutout.
Yeah, I saw that. That was pretty funny. That was pretty hilarious. Yeah, he certainly kept a low profile. I think he could have made some good side income over the years if he had wanted to.
Yeah, I don't know how that would have went for him, you know, depending on who he would have ran into or how that could have went, because there was some real hatred for him.
I'm
not quite sure how well-deserved it was, but there was some real hatred towards him.
Yeah. And to this day, I'm not sure if Lou would have caught that ball anyway, but that's something we'll never know.
Yeah, I honestly don't think he's catching it. I've seen the play a million times. I don't think he's going to make the catch. I like Moises Alou, but he's not a Gold Glover. You know, and that was a really tough play to make. But yeah, like you said, we'll never know.
No, no. And oh, by the way, talking about that Bartman thing, did you see the inside the park home run by Yelich the other night? The highlight of that one.
Yes.
Is that a fair rule? I mean, it seems a very strange play. Shouldn't it have been a ground rule double when it hit the netting like that? I couldn't understand that. I wonder if there's going to be some kind of a change in the rules because of that.
Yeah, I don't know what they can really do, because the ball stayed in play, and as long as Jimenez doesn't get himself caught up in the netting, it's probably not an inside the park home run.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's never going to be known as a Golden Glove outfielder, I'm afraid, but I guess maybe his hitting will make up for a little bit.
Well, yeah, he'll be fine. He's not gonna, and you never know. I mean, he's young; he could still improve. So, but yeah, it's just not a great showing there when it comes.
But I'm sure Yelich has appreciated getting that because he's off to a horrendous start this year.
Yeah. So yeah, he's definitely one of those guys who got off to a slow start. But so did the Brewers as a whole. I mean, they got, then they missed some games and, it was just kind of, but they split with the White Sox. I think they both won their games at home or lost their games at home.
Yeah. Yeah. And, they'll probably hang around, in the midst of it when it's all said and done, but I don't think they're quite as strong as they have been in the last couple of years.
Yeah, you know what? What's really kind of odd is the way this sets up, it should really play to the Brewers' strength because this is how they use their pitching all the time. So they should have been just dead set ready to go. Their starters only go – five innings, maybe six innings at the most, and then they turn it over to the bullpen. But for whatever reason, it didn't go their way. I don't know what the issue was or how it worked out. And I mean, obviously it didn't help them that Lorenzo Cain decided to pack it in after five games because he's their second best everyday player.
Yeah, that's a huge blow for them. Sure.
So, and then Ryan Braun has been hurt. I think he's played three or four games. So, that's not going to help him. I mean, these are the guys that kind of protect Yelich. So, without them hanging around, it's a little easier to go after him. And you mentioned Yelich is struggling. Even with the home run against the White Sox, he's only hitting .111.
Definitely not up to his usual standards, although I have a feeling he'll turn that around eventually.
Yeah, you would like to think, but with this weird season, I wonder because it's just going to sneak up on these guys. We've seen guys struggle for 2 months before.
Sure.
Before they kind of get it rolling and get it going, and I don't know. Yelich is a really good player, so I wouldn't think it would happen to him, but. Would it surprise me? No, I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Yeah, and this is a rough season to get into a prolonged slump.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, you want to get out of the gate hot, and it's for some of these teams, that have playoff hopes. It didn't work out. Everybody was riding the Cincinnati Reds bandwagon, and they're 5-8. Even though Sonny Gray looks like he's the best pitcher in the National League, they're still just 5-8.
Yeah, and that surprised me because I thought they would be one of the a sneaky contender this season myself. So far, I've been proved wrong.
Yeah, you know, and with the expanded playoffs, they still maybe, you know, with all the teams, you know, because 8 teams are going to get in. That's a ton. But, yeah, it just, you know, it's not the start, obviously, that they wanted to get off to. You know, and you can throw, like, you know, the Tampa Bay Rays are 5-7. You know, the Red Sox are 4-8, but that team looks like a disaster. You know, I'd be surprised if they even finish over 500 this year with, you know, everything that's went on there. So, you know, it's just, you know, a mess. But, you know, the Angels, again, off to a slow start. They're 5-8. You know, even with the great Joe Maddon as their manager, you know, hasn't helped so far.
No. But Oakland is off to a decent start, though. They just seem to have a good year after year. Maybe not good enough to win it, but they always seem to have a respectable team. And this year so far is no exception.
Yeah, you know, they've played really well. You know, the Twins have played really well. You know, the Indians are, you know, they're right there hanging around, even though, you know, for, you know, they kept saying they were going to rebuild, and, you know, they never really rebuilt, but they ended up with this fantastic young pitching staff.
Yeah, they've been very solid this year.
So...
Yeah, I'm wondering.
Yeah, it's just kind of
that they've been very good, surprisingly so. I didn't think they would be as good as they are. You think the Indians and the Braves are going to eventually have to change their names?
You know, the Braves have already said that they're not going to. The Indians apparently are talking about it. So I won't be surprised when they do it. But, yeah, Atlanta has already come out and said it's not going to happen. There's nothing wrong with their name, and they're not changing it. So.
But are they going to do away with the tomahawk chop?
Yeah, they do want their fans to stop doing that. You know, they've asked their fans to do that. So, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, you know the Indians fall into that kind of interesting scenario where the Cubs fall into – you know, Francisco Lindor is, you know, he's a free agent after next season, very much like Chris Bryant. You know, he's going to want a lot, and I mean a lot of money, very much like Chris Bryant. I don't think the Indians are going to be able to pay him. I doubt they would move him this year, but, you know, he's another one of those candidates that, you know, if he's not moved in the offseason, he's probably dealt sometime – early next year so they can get some value for him. And, you know, it'll be sad because he's their best player.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's unfortunately it's the economics of baseball.
Right. And I wouldn't call them I would probably call them a small market team compared to some of the other ones. They've never been one to draw very well. So I don't think he's going to be with them after this year.
Even when they're good, they don't draw, which is bad.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, I'm afraid that Lindor will not be a Cleveland Indian much longer.
So, yeah, you know, and it's just, you know, it becomes disappointing when you have to see teams, you know, do this. Because, you know, my guess is he's going to be looking for a, you know, he's 20, sir, wrong guy, 26. So he'll be 28 on the free agent market. You know he's going to be looking for one of those 10-year, $300 million deals. So, you know, and there's just, you know, there's no way, you know, Cleveland can't pay him $30 million a season. It's just
not even close.
In their, you know, salary structure. But
are we going to get to the stage in baseball if they continue to play normally? Are there going to be teams that can still afford to pay that kind of money?
Yeah, well, you know, there's always the teams that are going to, you know, can pay it if they want to pay it. You know, I mean, obviously the Dodgers can pay it, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Cubs. You know, there are a few more teams who can, you know, afford that one or two, you know, big salaries like that if they want to go that route. You know, the question just becomes, do they want to go that route? And it's going to be tough. You know, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the owners push for a salary cap, with this next collective bargaining agreement? Because let's face it, salaries are just out of control.
They are definitely out of control.
So, the residing factor is you can't price your fans out of the games, and that's what they're going to end up doing.
When the next agreement, what is it, another year before the next agreement has to be negotiated?
Yeah, 2021 CBA expires.
I have a feeling it's going to be a contentious regrouping when they sit down and go negotiate the next terms that will be implemented by baseball. I think it's not going to be an easy one. It's going to be tough. I'm just hoping there won't be a strike, but that wouldn't surprise me either.
Yeah, I mean, I hope, they're not stupid enough to strike or lock out or whichever side ends up doing what. Because with what everything going on, fans have already figured out how to get by without watching baseball. You don't want to force them into that. That is, if everything is, God only knows, if everything is back to normal by then, I would like to think so, considering it's a couple years down the road, but I'm not pressing my luck with the way things go here.
No.
So, eventually you've got to be smart enough to understand what you're doing to your fan base. And I get it. The union and the owners are a bunch of greedy bastards. I mean, there's nothing else you can say. They both want exclusively as much money as they can get while taking it away from the other guy. But, sooner or later you tick off that fan base and it doesn't come back. You're already having trouble drawing a younger fan base. You don't want to tick off the people who actually enjoy the game now.
Right, and you remember the last time there was a strike. It took that home run camp between McGuire and Sosa for the fans to start coming back again. And that really saved baseball.
Right, they had to gas the players up to get the fans to come back. So
yeah, exactly right. And, it was the era of the steroids, and I hope that that's a thing of the past, but we don't know.
Well, no, they just do the baseball now, instead of the players.
Yeah, just the baseball. And who knows, maybe there are some players who figure out a way to beat the system and have something in their ingested that is not caught by the testing that's done.
Oh yeah, I'm sure there's still players out there using stuff that the testing hasn't came up with yet. That wouldn't surprise me at all. So, because I know Houston just had a guy suspended yesterday, a minor leaguer, who tested positive. So there are still guys out there trying.
Yeah, and for every guy who's caught, I'm sure there's a few that are still getting away with it.
Oh yeah. It wouldn't surprise me at all if, there's guys at the major league level who have something, something going on that they just haven't figured out yet. They always say that they're ahead of the tests. The people who come up with these things are ahead of the testers. So.
Well, I'm sure there's a few of them that are getting by with an advanced form of Flintstones.
Oh yeah. You always need those. So.
Exactly.
But all right, well, we're rolling up here pretty close to the end, and I haven't even had the chance to ask you if the Blackhawks are going to close out their series tonight, right? Don't they have the opportunity?
Yeah, they do. It's the best of five, and if they win tonight, they wrap it up. Well, they have the home ice advantage, which means what they get to choose the line, and that's important. That's important. And in fact, the game probably started already. I think it was supposed to start at 1:45, unless when they say 5:45 start, that means it's actually 6:05 or by the time all the introductions and ceremonies are out of the way. But I have a feeling it's going to go five myself. It's going to go to a deciding fifth game. But it'd be nice if they won the game.
They have the start time here listed. So 6:01.
Oh,
so you may still be able to catch it. You know, we did have three series end today. We had the Islanders eliminate the Panthers. We had the Coyotes eliminate the Predators. And the Canadians sent the Penguins home. So
now, some of those are upsets, though. I don't think the Canadians were favored to win that series, were they?
No, I would be highly surprised if they were favorite against the Penguins. So,
is this round considered what, the quarter? Is this the quarterfinals? I'm not quite sure now. At the
they're calling it the play-in round or the qualifying round, depending on who you listen to.
So once the eliminations are out of the way, what, there are only 12 teams left? Is that how it's going to work?
Is it? No, I think
round?
It goes to like the normal setting. I think we go to 8.
Okay.
If I think I'm not quite sure, but maybe. You know, it's very confusing with how they set this up. But yeah, I think it goes to just kind of what we're used to with the NHL playoffs.
So the next round will be best of 7.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember I think they said it was going to be best of 7. At least I would assume it would be. But you know, you never know depending on how they want to, you know, how long they want to stretch it out. And, you know, it is odd for me because, you know, I'm waking up from my nap after work and there's already a game on.
Yeah,
so it's a little strange.
Yeah, very strange. And once the next round starts, are they going to revert back to the old playoff format and that sudden death overtime and keep going until someone scores a goal?
That I haven't heard. I believe that's what they're going to do. But I haven't heard it official or anything like that. I kind of vaguely remember them saying that, but yeah, again, there's so much jumbled in my mind when it comes to sports that I get them confused sometimes, but I believe it was just the shootout for this round. And then everything is like it was for the next round.
Now, when you say shootout for this round, does that mean that they'll be first to 5 minutes? If there were an overtime, it will be 5 minutes overtime followed by a shootout, which is what they did the season. Okay.
Yeah, it's regular season rules. You get the 5 minutes, the 4-on-4 5-minute overtime, and then if nobody scores, you go to the shootout.
Right, right. Well, I'm glad that that's out of the way, though. And you don't want to see someone's season come to an end based on that kind of rule, but I guess you have to do that for the strange situation we're in right now.
Yeah. You know, it's another situation where, you know, you don't want the game starting at 2:30, going 4 overtimes and pushing all the other games back. So, you know, you had to kind of find a way to end it. So.
Yeah. Well, let's hope the Blackhawks close out Edmonton tonight, but we'll see in a few hours.
Yeah, well, actually, we'll get started here pretty soon. But, you know, I'm just hoping if they advance that I'm a little more excited about the next round because this just, I've barely watched any of these three games. Maybe I'll watch a little tonight since the Cubs are postponed. But
right.
I just haven't been able to get into it.
Yeah, I did see the last 2 minutes of the game when they won 4-3, which was exciting.
Thank you very much. Anytime you want at 2.com.